From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is away this week. I'm Bob Garfield. What does it take for an American police story to pop up on the Australian evening news? Here's what.
Authorities in Texas have found as many as 30 bodies, including possibly those of children, buried in a mass grave at the intersection of two county roads in the southeast part of the state.
It was a grisly and disturbing scenario, triggering all of the revulsion and titillation TV producers count on when true crime intrudes upon our mundane lives. The only problem here was that this incident was actually untrue crime. Yes, local, state, and federal law enforcement did converge on Hardin, Texas, but they found no mass grave, no single grave, no dead children, no dead adults. Nothing but the temporary vacant home of a long-haul trucker and a convoy of satellite vans, including, of course, CNN.
CNN has now confirmed that at least 20 bodies have been found in a home.
Appears to be a mass grave containing, according to a sheriff's department official, 25 to 30 bodies, including, we are told tonight, the bodies of children. And the Liberty County Sheriff's Office says 25 to 30 bodies discovered outside the home there. Investigators said someone told them about the location. They are not elaborating on where that information comes from just yet.
It would rapidly emerge that the whole wild corpse chase began with a phone tip to the Liberty County Sheriff's Department from a woman identifying herself as a psychic, a twist that within 3 hours began to sober up the hysterical domestic news organizations. But not before the Texas Ain't Saw No Massacre was misreported with various forms of attribution the world round, including Agence France-Presse, Reuters, The Guardian, Sky News, the BBC, and The New York Times. But how? How does it come to pass that so many newsrooms could be so careless, so credulous, so clumsy? OTM this week tried to reconstruct the trail of misinformation to find out, as it were, where the bodies weren't buried. Though many outlets cleansed their websites of early versions of the story, our digging was a lot more productive than Liberty County's. It was apparent that London's The Guardian, for instance, grafted its stories from wire dispatches from AFP and Reuters. The New York Times also cited Reuters. But where did Reuters get its information?
Well, I believe it was shortly before 5 p.m. Central Time. We got a breaking news alert from a Houston television station.
Kristen Hayes is a Reuters correspondent in Houston, Texas.
Yes, you know, we signed up email-wise to get breaking news alerts from all the local media around here. So the typical Reuters way to handle that is to flash out the initial news and cite it to local media. So that's what we did. You know, Texas authorities find up to 30 bodies, including children buried at house, dash local media.
Reuters was not alone. By this stage, Twitter was ringing off the hook with retweets of the same news alerts. BreakingNews.com on its website and on Twitter passed this along to its 2.6 million followers. Dozens of bodies found buried in Texas, KPRC. This was retweeted hundreds of times, and at least it had some sort of source, KPRC. KPRC's original news alert contained no source. It flatly stated, dozens of bodies have been found in Liberty County. Join us for KPRC at 5 p.m. for the latest information. All of those organizations stayed with the story, later fleshing it out, both with gory details and attribution to law enforcement officials. But by then, the internet had long since exploded.
I believe that the dissemination of incorrect information was actually twofold.
Captain Rex Evans is public information officer for the Liberty County Sheriff's Department.
I believe that not only mainstream media, but social media played an integral part in that. And by that, I mean not any one particular person or any one particular station, news or radio, heard information that they had not yet been able to completely verify, yet that information was released. Now, in social media, obviously, nobody has to verify anything. You can get on to Facebook, emails,
Twitter,
and you can disseminate whatever information you want. The problem with that is some people perhaps don't stop and think what they are releasing or putting out there could actually be harmful to someone else. It certainly slowed us down and impaired our investigation due to the fact we were dealing with so much of a media onslaught, if you will.
Evans neglects to mention that the media circus would likely have been a one-ring affair had his office mentioned from the get-go that the whole investigation hinged on a phone tip from a self-professed psychic. The moment that detail emerged, about 2 hours into the frenzy, journalistic skepticism began to materialize.
I mean, we were already somewhat skeptical, but of course that immediately sent off all the alarms and whistles that this was, in all likelihood, a bogus story.
Mike Tolson covered the story for the Houston Chronicle, which never told readers in print or online that the mass grave story was anything more than an unconfirmed report. But there was a bear market for skepticism in Texas that afternoon. For most newsrooms, citing other newsrooms as the source was a good enough first step.
Oh, no, we never reported that. And I don't know how anyone in their right mind or with an iota of professionalism in their veins could have reported such a thing absent any confirmation from anybody. You know, I think one of our editors said he gives it a 10% chance of panning out. And then when we heard from some law enforcement source that it was a person claiming to be a psychic, well, you know, then it was a 1% chance of panning out.
It made headlines all around the world after reports of 30 decomposing bodies, including children, said to be in some cases mutilated and dumped in a rural area outside Houston. The FBI got involved. The cops brought. It was a crazy scene, but they found nothing.
No graves, no evidence of any murder. Now the investigation is turning to the tipster. Authorities saying it was from a woman claiming to be a psychic.
Police and news crews took the tip seriously because the woman gave very detailed information about that house. Authorities found no bodies and no evidence of foul play.
When the lurid details began to be impeached by on-the-scene reality, one after another, the gathering truth was disturbing in its own right. Reuters' Kristen Hayes.
Well, the best way to describe it is an extremely ice-cold feeling in the pit of your stomach when you begin to realize, wait a minute, this may not be right. This may not be true.
That sickening feeling still lingered on Thursday over at KPRC, Houston's Channel 2, whose original unequivocal news alert seems to have been the first journalistic salvo in the worldwide bombardment. News director Deborah Kalura, in a speakerphone interview along with her general manager Jerry Martin, was adamant in pointing out that the newsroom does observe standards of sourcing, which is why she insisted that she didn't let the mass grave story go on her 4 p.m. broadcast absent official confirmation.
I'm never going to go on the air unless my reporters are on the scene telling me there are 25 to 30 children's bodies, you know, being dug up in a grave. And we never said anything on the air.
But why do you keep making this distinction between on the air and on the web and on Twitter? I mean, this is 2011. They're all the same, aren't they? Aren't the rules the same covering each of those channels of news distribution?
You've got a whole newsroom that has access to tweeting someone who isn't going to be on air, like an anchor or a reporter.
Obviously got overly aggressive with the story and tweeted something that did not go through the checks and balance system.
And we can't find the source at the moment.
Yes, the TV news is delivered by your Channel 2 news team. The website is controlled by the Click 2 Houston web team. But any one of 30 KPRC employees can tweet about anything under KPRC's handle, and management can't even identify who tweeted what when.
And I have to tell you, just to learn later that it was because of a psychic tip. We all went on this chase because we thought we were covering a story. I mean, I just got to be honest with you. We're all upset at this point.
Not just because they uncritically passed along bad information without attribution, but because, Kalura insists, they did have attribution, which they used in all subsequent reports. Their source? The cops.
The way the event unfolded was probably around 3:30, 3:45 in our newsroom, we received a call from the Liberty County Sheriff's Department. And that would be the PIO, the person we get our information from.
Rex Evans?
Yes. Saying that there was a report of 25 to 30 bodies that had been found on this County Road 2048, County Road 2049, and that police were on the way to this scene. That's how the whole event started. So it did not start with a tweet from us, just so I can set the record straight.
Oddly, in his conversation with us, Captain Evans talked a lot about unverified information, but didn't mention any 330 call to his contacts at the TV stations. He instead offered a different theory for rumors of the investigation leaking out.
People see multiple patrol cars in an area, and they start tweeting or texting or Facebooking from their iPads and what have you that, hey, the cops are over here looking at whatever, and it just goes from there, and it just spreads like a wildfire.
Yeah, and it spreads even faster when the cops are lighting the match. But in any case, like they always say, bad news travels fast.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.